Lesson 4. Experiences. Part A. Listen, write, and speak.
Exercise 1. Listen to the passage and choose the best answer to each question you hear. In the United States, a university professor is granted a few months of freedom from his duties approximately every seventh year for travel or advanced study. This period of freedom from teaching is called a sabbatical leave. Few sabbatical leaves are interesting enough to be described in national newspapers and magazines. Recently, however, there was an exception. The public learned how Dr. John R. Coleman, president of Haverford College, had spent his sabbatical leave. At the age of 51, Dr. Coleman was determined to escape from university life for a few months and to get a variety of experiences in the world of work. He especially wanted to learn about people. People who do hard physical labor were particularly interesting to him. Telling no one of his plans, Dr. Coleman started his sabbatical leave on a farm in Canada, hundreds of miles from his college. Getting up at 4:30 each morning, working 13 hours a day in fields and barns, he prepared himself physically for his next job, digging ditches, in Atlanta, Georgia. After that, the college president washed dishes in a Boston restaurant. During the last 10 days of his leave, he worked as a garbage collector. This unusual sabbatical leave was conducted in great secrecy. Coleman telephoned his family once a week, just to let someone know where I was and that I was healthy. None of his students or co-workers at Haverford College knew what their president was doing. On each job, he avoided letting people know who he was. When people would ask me about myself, I'd try to turn the conversation back to them, he explained. Some co-workers might have thought I was a little different, a little quiet maybe, but I doubt anyone knew I was a college president. There was only one employer who sensed something unusual. At a restaurant in Boston, I had been on the job exactly 1 hour. I was washing dishes. When the boss came over and said, "I'm afraid you won't do," and handed me $2. Immediately, I asked him why, but he just said, "It is not your work. Sorry." That was the first time in more than 30 years as a job holder that Coleman had heard such words. It helped him understand how a man of his age might feel when he suddenly realized he had lost his job. After 2 months of working with his hands, Coleman returned from his unusual sabbatical leave, convinced that the experience had been worthwhile. He had some good things to say about people who do hard physical work. "A lot of my co-workers would complain when the work was too heavy," he said, "but they'd complain a lot more when there was nothing to do." He found that pride and satisfaction came chiefly in the form of praise from co-workers. Even though pay was important, what brought the greatest satisfaction was knowing that someone had noticed how a job was being done. At the end of his sabbatical leave, Dr. Coleman felt that his time had been well spent. He now believes that every young person should be required to spend at least half a year in the world of work before starting university studies.
Question number 1. What do professors usually do during their sabbatical leave? Question number 2. Which of the following jobs hadn't Dr. Coleman taken during his sabbatical leave? Question number 3. How did he feel when the restaurant owner gave him $2? Question number 4. Which of the following is not true about Dr. Coleman? Question number 5. What can you infer from the passage?
Exercise 2. Listen again and complete the answers to the following question. In the United States, a university professor is granted a few months of freedom from his duties, approximately every seventh year, for travel or advanced study. This period of freedom from teaching is called a sabbatical leave. Few sabbatical leaves are interesting enough to be described in national newspapers and magazines. Recently, however, there was an exception. The public learned how Dr. John R. Coleman, president of Haverford College, had spent his sabbatical leave. At the age of 51, Dr. Coleman was determined to escape from university life for a few months and to get a variety of experiences in the world of work. He especially wanted to learn about people. People who do hard physical labor were particularly interesting to him. Telling no one of his plans, Dr. Coleman started his sabbatical leave on a farm in Canada, hundreds of miles from his college. Getting up at 4:30 each morning, working 13 hours a day in fields and barns, he prepared himself physically for his next job, digging ditches, in Atlanta, Georgia. After that, the college president washed dishes in a Boston restaurant. During the last 10 days of his leave, he worked as a garbage collector. This unusual sabbatical leave was conducted in great secrecy. Coleman telephoned his family once a week, just to let someone know where I was and that I was healthy. None of his students or co-workers at Haverford College knew what their president was doing. On each job, he avoided letting people know who he was. When people would ask me about myself, I'd try to turn the conversation back to them, he explained. Some co-workers might have thought I was a little different, a little quiet maybe, but I doubt anyone knew I was a college president. There was only one employer who sensed something unusual. At a restaurant in Boston, I had been on the job exactly 1 hour. I was washing dishes. When the boss came over and said, "I'm afraid you won't do," and handed me $2. Immediately, I asked him why, but he just said, "It is not your work. Sorry." That was the first time in more than 30 years as a job holder that Coleman had heard such words. It helped him understand how a man of his age might feel when he suddenly realized he had lost his job. After 2 months of working with his hands, Coleman returned from his unusual sabbatical leave, convinced that the experience had been worthwhile. He had some good things to say about people who do hard physical work. "A lot of my co-workers would complain when the work was too heavy," he said, "but they'd complain a lot more when there was nothing to do." He found that pride and satisfaction came chiefly in the form of praise from co-workers. Even though pay was important, what brought the greatest satisfaction was knowing that someone had noticed how a job was being done. At the end of his sabbatical leave, Dr. Coleman felt that his time had been well spent. He now believes that every young person should be required to spend at least half a year in the world of work before starting university studies.
Part B. Listen and relax.
Directions. You're going to hear 5 epigrams. Listen carefully and try to learn them by heart.
1. Never so happy as when my hands are full. Galsworthy. 2. The man who is perfectly pleased with the present state of things is a failure. Thomas Edison. 3. I never consider ease and joyfulness as the purpose of life itself. Einstein. 4. There is a great deal of difference between the eager man who wants to read a book and the tired man who wants a book to read. G.K. Chesterton. 5. Knowledge is of two kinds. We know a subject ourselves, or we know where we can find information upon it. Samuel Johnson. Part C, Further Listening.
Directions. You are going to hear a short passage. It will be read just once. Listen carefully and choose the best answer to each question you hear.
I arrived in the United States on February 6, 1991, but I remember my first day here very clearly. My friend Tom was waiting for me when my plane landed at Kennedy Airport at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was freezing that day, but I was too excited to mind. From the airport, Tom drove me to the hotel. On the way, I saw the skyline of Manhattan for the first time, and I stared in astonishment at the famous skyscrapers and their man-made beauty. Tom helped me unpack at the hotel and then left me because he had to go back to work. He promised to return the next day. Shortly after Tom left, I went to a restaurant near the hotel to get something to eat. Because I couldn't speak a word of English, I couldn't tell the waiter what I wanted. I was very upset and started to make some gestures, but the waiter failed to understand me. I was really at a loss what to do. Finally, I ordered the same thing the man at the next table was eating. After dinner, I started to walk along Broadway until I came to Times Square, with its movie theaters, neon lights, and huge crowds of people. I didn't feel tired, so I continued to walk around the city. I wanted to see everything on my first day. I knew it was impossible, but I wanted to try. When I returned to the hotel, I was exhausted, but I couldn't sleep because I kept hearing the noise and police sirens during the night. I lay awake and thought about New York. It was really a very big and fascinating city with so many tall buildings and big cars and full of noise and busy people. I also decided right then that I would learn to speak English.
Question number one. When did the speaker arrive in New York? Question number two. What impressed the speaker most on her way to the hotel? Question number three. What did the speaker do immediately after her friend left? Question number four. What do we know about the speaker? Question number five. What can we infer from the passage? This is the end of Lesson 4.